If I had to give this episode a theme song, it would 100%, without a shred of doubt, be Big Energy. Tune out the noise, turn up your heart. It's time to amplify everything that makes you awesome. Welcome back to the Wicked Fearless Podcast. I'm your host, Madison Ciccone, and this is your weekly dose of inspiration, how we did it stories, and of course, a lot of realness, helping you get out there and take action in your life, dialing up those routines to find our courage, forge our path, and bravely step into all that you were created to be and everything you're becoming. Your higher self is calling, and you do not want to miss this. You know how I talk about you are a summation of the five people you surround yourself with? Well, let me just tell you something. I met Jenna Klopfenstein at an event pretty recently in the past year, and I was just blown away by her personality, the way she showed up, and she is an absolute firecracker. And what I love the most is she is also a former D1 athlete. So the energy on here is through the roof, which makes total sense because Jenna is a growth and mental edge coach. So taking that D1 spirit, you know, I love and I talk about so much on this podcast and really bringing that beyond the field in everything that she does, hosting the Next Level You podcast, her giant in-person event that's coming up in a few months, creating massive impact now, not only on the field, off the field. And really, this came on the heels of a massive pivot because she spent nearly a decade as an orthopedic physician assistant. And then she really just busted out one day and said, this isn't for me, and dove into this whole entrepreneurial journey, which is insane and crazy. And you know, I love to deep dive into these stories and get into people's brain to figure out why they did what they did. What was the feeling? What did it feel like? What did it look like? Tell us the real stuff. So I know you are going to be obsessed with this episode because I am obsessed with Jenna, and you are going to get so many great little nuggets about mental tenacity, mindset, impact on a deeper level, just so much good stuff. So without further ado, here's my girl, Jenna.
All right, y'all. I have Jenna Klopfenstein on the podcast today, and I got that right. Here we go.
You did.
Heck yes. I'm just so excited to talk to you. I know we're more like newfound friends, but when you are kind of running in the same direction as people, it almost feels like you bond quicker because it's like, oh, we're all going in the same direction. Like, yes, you're my spiritual running buddy. So for anybody in my listeners who may not know who you are, I would just love for you to kind of give your intro of who you are, what you're doing now, and I'm sure we'll peel some layers back and get into it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm honored to be here. I love you. I'm so excited just that our hearts have connected and just our friendship moving forward, because exactly like you said, I'm trying to find my people to lock arms and run with, and you are certainly one of those people. But who am I?
Who is Jenna
Klopfenstein, that name that my husband made me take, right? So currently you see me as I'm a mama of two boys. I'm married to my best friend. He is honestly like the greatest life partner that I could ever have dreamt of. I'm a growth and mental edge coach. I'm a speaker. I'm a podcast host in the Next Level You podcast. I'm an athlete, once an athlete, always an athlete. And I say when you say that question, right? Like, who are you? It's one of those things where we can get really caught up in like the titles. In something that I freed myself from, was I was under those titles for a long time. So I'm a former physician assistant. I was an orthopedic PA for 10 years, did surgery, did joint replacements, hip and knee. I'm a former college soccer coach. Love that, right? And they're all parts of my journey and really who I am. I was raised by a single mom. I have a sister. And really, it was the three of us, female power, growing up. And I grew up really in a mindset of achievement, high performer, being the best, right? Was valedictorian in high school, got a full ride to play Division I college soccer, became an orthopedic PA, was working with the president of the biggest orthopedic group here in Ohio, where I live, know, all the things like that we grow up as high performers, high achievers, however you want to frame that, doing. And I was driven by that for a lot of years, and I was proud about that. But the part of that was I hadn't asked myself in a long time, like who I really wanted to be or how I wanted to feel or how I wanted my life to look like. And so now when I sit here, you know, I am Jenna Klopfenstein's a totally different person than Jenna Klopfenstein would have been even a year ago. And the biggest reason is just because of the choices I've made to allow my feeling to be the guiding points. And so where I told you I was a previous PA and college soccer coach, and now, you know, I'm a growth and mental edge coach and a speaker and a podcaster and all the things, mama, heart and wife first, is because I made a decision not that long ago, you know, a year, to leave those titles and to go all in on the dream life that I wanted to have, the feelings and creating and building my business and the having the impact I wanted on the field, having the presence that I had. I said field, that's such an athlete, the impact that I wanted to have on the world and the presence that I wanted to have with my husband and my kid. And so I have built this business. I am full-time entrepreneur now over the past year. I'm an event host, right? And I could just like, you know, keep kind of spitting who I am, but I'll put a pin in it there. And we can run whichever.
Oh, there's so many places you can run with this. So, so good. You know, and I hear you on all this. Okay. So I'm the most interested, you know, so much of what you said, I'm like, well, this all makes total sense, growth and mental edge, because that is so much, you know, your former soccer D1 player, but then also coach. All those to me are really just transferable skills. And so it makes total sense that this leap kind of evolved and happened. I'm really curious, and I'm always the most curious about that kind of, well, shit moment. Like I did all the things, I've done it all, I've been doing this. Like, what was it, an itch? Was it when did it start for you? Did you hear it for a while? And then you were like, no, I'll keep doing the PA thing. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. Or like, what, how did the levee break? Like, what did that whole thing look like for you?
Yeah. Such a good question. So in addition to being a high performer, I was always very risk averse and like traditional in the way of thinking, because I was raised by a single mom. So it was like, for me to get a job that I made six figures in my early 20s was like, oh, I won. I did the thing, right? Yeah. My family's not going to worry about money. Like we had this. And I thought from that place, right? If I could provide the security and the safety for my children and our family, then like part of life was just like going into the 9-to-5, doing the hustle, doing the grind, having to sacrifice some things for me, like being present with my kids in the morning, you know, because I left my house, you know, to get into surgery, to get in the OR. We started at 6:30. And so I wasn't there when my kids woke up. But like my way of thinking years ago, not that long ago, was just like, well, that's what I was doing for my family.
Mm.
Well, then I had a realization of like, okay, Jenna, and I would say this to the person listening too, to do is really like, I had to write down what my top priorities were, and to get really radically honest with how I was living my life and how I was spending my time. So when I said, okay, my top priorities are, which a lot of people would probably say the same thing, right? God, my family, and then like me, like living out my purpose, but that's like tied to my faith and then my family. When I say my family, however you feel about this, I say my family is like within these walls, my two children and my husband. Like I don't get caught up in extended family. I love my mom. I love my sister. I love my in-laws, all the things. Yeah. But like, those were my top priorities. And then I looked at my schedule and it was like, that's not where my most my time's going, nor is that where my best energy is given, right? Mm. I'm coming home and my job's getting the best of me. You know, my players are getting the best of me. My patients are getting the best of me. My family's getting the rest of me, right? And it was like this really telling moment of things that I had said to myself of when I would like see my friends had walked their kids to school, or when I had seen like, oh, my friends went to their kids to like on their field trips, or like they were having lunch dates with their spouses or whatever, say whatever you want. Right. And I was like, that's just never going to be my life because I chose to be a PA. And here's the thing. I chose to be a PA. I knew I wanted to be a PA when I was 16 years old and I never thought that I was going to be anything else. Right. And so what I started to do, what that telling moment was, when I said, I don't want my life to look like this anymore. right? I don't want somebody else to control my time. I don't want other people outside of my top priorities getting my most time and my best energy, right? And I had to get really radically honest like that. I don't want this me to live like this. I don't want somebody to control how much money I can make, regardless of how hard I work or how smart I am. And so, you know what I had to do was I had to get really curious and ask myself questions and say, Jenna, if you want your life to change, if you don't want all those things, then you have to change. And I slowly had to change the way I thought. And the cliche things that we hear all the time, life's short, life's fragile, you don't know how many days you're gifted, right? Time is the one thing that you'll never get back. They really started to sink into me. And I'm like, holy shit, I can't just have my life pass by. I can't wait till retirement to have the money and the lifestyle that I want. And so those things sank in. And that was huge for me. And I knew where I was currently at as a college soccer coach and a PA, even though my life was good and I loved it, I was not going to have the lifestyle and the feelings that I desired. And so I got really curious and I said, okay, I love coaching because I love the impact I have on these young girls. I love that it's more than just a sport, you know, that I can impact them through life and I can be a mentor that I never had. And so I was like, how can I do that? How can I monetize that? Because as a college soccer coach, you don't make life-changing living money. And I said, I love listening to podcasts. I love speaking. And so I decided to start a podcast. This is Cliff Note version, but I decided to start a podcast. And not knowing what in the world that would mean, right? My podcast started at Girl Let's Be Real. Now it's Next Level You, but it's like evolution. I just knew I wanted to come on, share my real heart, be raw, have real conversation. And so I ran with it. And that opened so many doors for me. I connected with people. All right. My podcast grew. My word got out to other countries, to other people. That led me to getting into rooms, to then like speaking, to attending events. And it was one event that I attended at the end of October of 2022, that in that room, it was nothing that a speaker said. They were wonderful speakers. It was nothing anybody said. It was a realization that I had. Jenna, if you want your life to change, like I said before, you have to change. And I walked out those doors. My sister and my husband picked me up because it was in Arizona. And I said to them, our life's never going to be the same. I'm choosing. Like, our life's never going to be the same. And Isaac, my husband, said, oh, shit, because he knows when I say that, like, I mean it. And I made a decision in that time. Again, and here's what's really important that people hear. I had a podcast at that time. I had some clients that had trickled in, but I was not making the dough, right? I was not making a dough in a business. This is the real, right? I was making really good money as a PA, but I knew I wanted to go a different direction. I wanted to go all in on mentorship and speaking and things like that. And I couldn't do that because of all the time and energy that was at being or given to being a PA. And so in that, I told my husband, I have to leave my job. And I have to invest $14,000 in mentorship and a mastermind. And those statements came back to back. And he said, okay, when are you thinking like to leave your job? And I said, like, I'm going to give my 6-week notice this week. And he was like, oh my gosh. Right. And to me, my personality, I had to make drastic change if I wanted to see drastic change and call myself in big ways. And that's how I did it.
Yeah. Damn.
Damn.
I love that. Call yourself up. That's so good. So here's where my question was. When you told Isaac this, now what is the seesaw moment for this? And the seesaw moment is like, did you start saving a lot of money? Did you have a lot of money saved? Did Isaac say, okay, I got you for this level? Or did you like, we have this much runway for this to like, how did that happen? Because I think, you know, if you sit back and you listen to a story, you're like, oh my gosh, like it sounds more simple than it actually is in real time.
100%.
So I kind of want you to walk through that a little bit. Because I feel like there is this very kind of like glossed over, like just jump and the net will appear. Just quit your job, like create the change.
Yes.
So I want to know really granular what that looks like as a couple, especially.
Yeah. Thank you for asking this. And if you're listening, this is such a great question and a great place to go because it's the realness. And I actually started talking more about this, like on stages, like the numbers, like the investments, the realness of money, because I feel like money, you know, money mindset's a real thing and money has so much power over us. And it's easy to assume, okay, Jenna, you just gave us your Cliff Note version. Cool. You could leave your job. Well, you probably had a big savings, or you probably like had this big runway. And here I will say, before I get into the granular stuff of that conversation and how we were able to do it, I'm not saying that's for everybody. I tell my clients all the time, my pace is not for everybody. You know, Madison, you and I talked about on my podcast, like run your own race. We all have different paces. We like, and that's so important, because everybody's not supposed to, if you're in a job right now, leave your job and go all like how I did, right? Yeah. That was what I knew, right? That was best. That was the way that I needed to do that. But the real of this was, so Isaac and I have saved for, I love this, because I actually haven't shared this part on really, I don't think a podcast, but Isaac and I had saved really well for retirement at a young age, both in our early 20s, like set money aside from retirement. Neither one of us grew up with money. Like, we weren't trust fund babies. Our parents didn't give us, I mean, our parents are wonderful, but didn't give us the money, right? They didn't have extra.
Yeah.
We've never been somebody that lives with like a big emergency fund, like other people, or a big savings account. I didn't have a savings account that said, this is my invest in me money, right? But what I will say, what we have is, Isaac's a math major. Isaac's very analytical. And so his brain, he's an Enneagram 5, right? Process is very different than me. So what we do have, like, is we have a really good dynamic of perspective, right? He's very number oriented and reasonable. And I'm very much of like action. Let's just go. We'll figure it out, and belief. And so in that conversation, what he said was, and this is really great for you and your partner, if you have one, or just you to think about, okay, this is where we have money. So we want to make a big change, right? And then money is always like, oh, I'm really scared because of this.
Yeah.
So for us, it was like, okay, we have money in different retirement accounts, right? We have money. Well, we have credit cards. We never carried credit card debt, but you have credit cards and you have limits on credit cards, right? So this was that conversation of him saying, okay, if you want to invest $14,000 and you're not going to make the money that you're making as a PA, right? Like, okay, well, here's how where we could pull the $14,000 from. For us, we pulled it from my retirement, my 401k, being completely real, right? And it's things that people don't think about, because they see people making these big leaps, or you hear that from me. And again, you say, I don't have the money. And again, I'll disclaimer, I will never give financial advice. I'm not telling you to pull money from retirement. I'm not telling you to put money on your credit card, right? But for us, this is the real, right? And so we made that choice. And then we also looked at, okay, month by month, I think you can get caught up in, I made this, like for me, I could have got caught up in, I made this as a PA. I have to make that before I can leave my job. For me, I took it month by month and we looked at fixed expenses, right? Our bills, the things that we had to pay, right? Then we went back and we looked at our bank accounts and we got very, okay, where are we spending money? And we said, okay, month by month, this is bare minimum that we need to bring in.
Yeah.
And I just knew that. And so that's like the tactical, that's like the granular, that's like the conversation of, okay, what, like month at a time, okay, this is what we're running with. And we still do that to this day, Madison. Like, we still look at that and we say, okay, you know, I'm going to join a big mastermind in 2024. Okay, where's that money come from? What do we have? Where's the money that we can move? What are the moving parts? And just being a little bit more open perspective from the traditional perspective, right? Because here's what I know. That $14,000 that I pulled from my 401k that the stock market was controlling, that I invested in myself, was the greatest investment I made. It is literally, you are the greatest investment you make. We hear that, whatever. But like, I had control over how I, again, go back to call myself up in that moment and went. And so, you know, that's the runway. You do need a plan, right? You need to know. You can't just go all in. But we also have an open dialogue all the time where we're looking at month by month, right? We're looking at bank accounts. We're looking at where money needs to flow. And we're in constant conversation and visualization of how that looks.
It's so important. I think I wanted you to touch on how important it is to have a partner who is supportive in these ways and supportive in your dreams, because I think, you know, some people don't have that.
Yeah.
And I think that can be really challenging when you're trying to find that call up or that next level, or, you know, do these things that you know are on your heart.
Yeah. And this is something that I do talk about more and more now that I'm sharing about Isaac and I's journey together more, you know, in 2024, we're going to do stuff together for partnerships and couples. I just did a talk at an event on creating a next level vision with your partner. And something that I call out is, I get it. You know, it's very easy for you to say, well, not everybody has an Isaac, Jenna. You know, Isaac's my husband's name. He and I were so risk averse. And then we did change our mindset pretty synchronously. Like it was like we did it together. And I get that that was a blessing. And it has allowed me to run faster and bolder than I would have done if I had a partner that wasn't on board right away. You know, his words in that conversation that I shared before, when I said those two things that I want to leave my job and I have to leave my job and I have to invest money. His words that I share over and over was, if I were to bet on anybody, it'd be you, Jenna. It was like full permission, go, you know? So to me, that was huge. I won't say everything, but that was huge. So if you have a supportive partner, like I'm going to speak to two, like if you have one and if you feel like you don't, if you have a supportive partner, right? Like Isaac, to me, it's like, how do you make the journey? How do you make the dream? How do you make the cadence of life exponentially greater together, right? How can you guys complement each other? Like for Isaac and I told you he's an Enneagram 5. He has a lot of skills and a former teacher. He has a lot of skills that help me in my business. We are passionate about a lot of things. So we share constantly. He has his businesses of his own. So how can you make as much as you can, like together and dream together and exponentially grow each other? So that's huge, right? But the other side of things is if you don't have a supportive partner. And what I say is, I don't know your situation, you know, and I'm not saying that you got it all wrong, that he or she's just not like he or she is supportive and you just like don't know it. But what I will say is every human being, male species to female species, very different. And every human being is very different. And it's really easy to only see through your perspective and your personality type, you know, Enneagram typing, human design, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, it's really important to know that. When Isaac and I did human design work, when we did Enneagram work to know each other better, like our partnership got stronger. And so if you're somebody that's listening and you're like, well, my partner, I don't have a supportive partner. Are you giving him a chance? Are you getting to know them and how they process? Because Isaac's a 5. He needed numbers. You know, I'm a 8. I'm a back against the wall. Let's go, right? I'll show you through my action. But to him, he processed it through numbers and seeing, right? And the tangibles. And you have to know that in a partnership because it's easy to assume, well, you just don't support me. No, they might just not get your perspective or understanding and they need to be explained a different way. And so that is first, is give them a chance and really have uninterrupted time to sit down and say, I'm going to listen. You give me your thoughts and then vice versa. And then also, have you gotten to know like how your partner processes things and how they think? Like, have you done the Enneagram? Have you done human design? And if you haven't, I think that you will definitely have your eyes open to a different perspective. And the last part of that is if they don't. So if you do all that and they really don't understand, you are not going to prove it to them through your words. You're going to prove it through your actions and how you feel and your passion and your grit and your resiliency and your fire, and they will feel it. Energy is felt, right? And so we can do a lot of times, we can try to justify ourselves or our dreams or what we truly want or through words. And I just would say lean more into showing it over telling it.
I agree with you there. You know, you've mentioned action a lot, and I feel like as a mental edge and a former athlete, D1 spirit, as I like to call it. It's like this spirit inside of us of go, do, get it. I'm curious where you feel like your discipline versus your inspiration and motivation is. And the reason I ask that is we're going to these like holiday seasons things right now. And I feel like motivation is not always there. And as I always like to say, motivation isn't always there. Yeah. So what does discipline look like for you? do you have certain practices that you're like, these are my be all, I have to have these? What's your, as I like to say, spiritual armor for the day? What does it look like for you to be disciplined and stay in action when the motivation and the inspiration runs out?
Ooh, love this question. Love this question. Let me know if I don't go the direction that you're looking for.
It's fine. You're going to go in a great direction.
It's a really good question. So you live either a default life or a disciplined life. And I say that, you know, one of my mentors, Tim Kite, he's awesome. His book's Above the Line, but it's like, there's a line, and above that line, you know, you're living a disciplined life. Below it, you're living a default line. Like, you're not at that line. Right. And so as an athlete, like, the parallels there, right. Are you had to be disciplined to be an elite athlete. You had to be disciplined, you know, to play Division I sports. You have to show that discipline. It's, you know, making choices daily of, okay, getting up to that first alarm, doing your workout, not going to that party because you know you have a game. In the summertime when you go away, like, staying disciplined so you don't get so out of shape that you're in preseason and you're like, oh, I can't pass my fitness test, you know? And so as an athlete, especially then you even take that to the college level, it was like, I knew great players were coming in. I knew they were recruiting them. And so you can make these choices that you are going to let life happen to you, or you are going to impact the life that you're living, right? You're going to choose, because we constantly make choices, even if they're subconsciously, of just like, again, you're in that default mode. And so from a young age, you know, talk about being raised by a single mom, then to being an athlete, like, I have known the power of choice, that you are elite by choice, right? It doesn't just happen by chance. And listen, we're human. We're all human. Like, right. I'll just say that I fall back sometime. But what discipline looks like to me is, you talk about just even like the little things. When I wake up, when I set an alarm and I like start my day off, not pressing snooze, you start your day off in discipline, right? What discipline looks like to me is, if I say I'm going to do something, that I follow through. It's keeping promises to myself. I speak my dreams out loud a lot to my husband, to my friends, sometimes the social media on Instagram, right? Because it, again, I keep saying these words, but it calls me up. It holds me accountable to do it, to stay disciplined. And I think when you bring people in on things, right, you actually speaking them out loud, you are challenging yourself to see them through. And discipline's tied to confidence. You know, how was I an elite athlete? Because, again, you go back to, I made the choices and I followed through, which I built confidence, which then showed on the field because I was relentless to run through the ball. Talk about entrepreneurship. I do a lot of work to be as confident as I am right now, right? By that discipline, by keeping promises to myself, and you can list them, right? But when you talk about when I made that investment of that $14,000, right? I made a big commitment to myself. You want to say financial and to my family of, I'm going to change the trajectory of our life and I'm going to be disciplined. And maybe that looks like me staying up till 3 a.m. because I have to get this certain thing done. But ultimately it boils down to, when I think about discipline, if you want to be elite in life, whatever that is, an athlete, an executive, in whatever job you are, an entrepreneur, you are elite by choice. You choose that. And through your choices, right, you're either going to build confidence or you're going to have more self-doubt. And to me, keeping promises, saying what I'm going to do out loud, bringing people in, bringing in some accountability, and also proving to myself that I'm going to follow through is how I am able to be disciplined.
So good. As you were saying that, I literally wrote down discipline / confidence because I think they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. No. And I'm curious then, if someone were to come to you, Jenna, and be like, how would you help them if they were like, I just can't get out of this default mode. I'm having trouble keeping these promises to myself.
Yeah. You know, it starts small. You know, athletes, we've all heard the famous speech of life's a game, or it's a game of inches, right? You know, or I... I think we can get really caught up in, and I'd say this, you know, to clients is like, yeah, big actions are great. You know, I have big actions that I want to take. I have this vision board, but you don't start there. You don't say, I want to run a marathon and go out and start running 13 miles. Maybe somebody does, but you're an anomaly, right? You go out and you run a mile and you say, okay, and you keep going. And so when I think about building confidence, okay, confidence is a skill. And if we say confidence and discipline are here, it's like start small. And then not only that, but allow yourself to celebrate those small victories. So for me, I'm going to go back to this because I talk about it all the time because it's a nature that I still fight now in my life. I used to set a million alarms. My college teammates used to have to wake me up. And I still fight sometimes wanting to press snooze, right? So to me, that is actually a victory for me when I don't press snooze and I'm proud of myself. I allow myself to be like, way to go. Good job. I remember when Isaac wanted to start working out more, wanting his life to look a different way. He set his phone across the room and he's like, I'm actually going to stop thinking about the workout that I'm going to do in the morning and what I want to get done for the day and just worry about the one thing at a time. So he set his phone across the room. He got up to his alarm. Then he drank his full glass of water and he taught me something. He's like, I'm going to take it one at a time. I'm going to wake up to my alarm. I'm going to celebrate. Like, look in the mirror. You did it. Way to go. I'm going to drink my glass of water and be like, crush that. You know, then I'm going to do my devotional and I'm going to be like, okay, here we go. And then each of those are going to build me confidence to then do the workout and crush the workout. And then I'm going to have all those drops in my confidence bucket before the kids wake up. And I'm going to then be happier. And I'm going to be a better dad when they wake up to greet them, which makes me feel better. Now I'm going to go my day. And he says this every day. My husband says this, something awesome is going to happen today. Yeah. Right. He says it. So then he speaks out loud, some energy that like gets him in flow. So to me, it's like, if you're that person that's like, and again, I hear it all the time, I'm just not confident. I wasn't born confident like you. I'm like, babe, love, I was not born confident. Nobody is. But I've done a lot of drops in my confident bucket, which has led me to where I'm at now. And you just have to start. And you have to start small because they're attainable. Your morning routine is game changing. Your nightly routine is game changing. And they evolve and they grow. But you don't have to do it all at once. You just have to do it inch by inch, one drop by one drop, and allow yourself to celebrate them.
I love what you said about celebrating, because I think that so often we don't celebrate those moments. And then we get to these big monumental moments in our lives and we feel it for maybe like a few hours, maybe a day. And then we're like, what's next? Or like, now what? And it's like that constantly chasing of the proverbial carrot when it should just be all these tiny celebrations all the time. As yeah. In there's no big grand finish line or big grand trophy. It's just constant all yeah. the time. Tiny trophies. Yeah. Finish lines all over the place. Something awesome is going to happen today. So I love this because it's also part of my gratitude practice and why I created my own, because something I started doing when I didn't have the gratitude practice that I created was, what's the best outcome that could happen for me today? Mm. And I call this future tripping. So go where you want to go. And I think that's so important because I think people just, they don't understand that your brain is always trying to take you to the safe space. Our brain's yes. primary function is to keep us safe. And yes. now I always say, no lions and tigers and bears, oh my, it's like safe from ego, safe from risk, safe from this. There's no like real threat, God willing, but future tripping, putting your brain in that energy of where you want to go is so important. And I know that's really important from an athlete standpoint, mental edge, all this stuff, and visualizing where you want to go. If you have that big meeting, visualize yourself doing it. If you have that big, you know, workout, like I just had something called the turkey burn. It's like our 90 minute. I visualize the song that was going to play and how the class was going to sing it. And I put myself in the energy that I wanted. And that energy happened.
Yes.
More often than not, when you do that, that's what happens. So I would love for you to kind of touch on that and like projecting, putting yourself where you want to go.
Oh yeah. I'm like dancing. I know you guys can't see me because you're listening to the podcast, but I'm dancing. I'm like, feel this so much. The power of visualization is
yeah.
absolutely game changing. What you speak in your head, and then you take it to another level and you speak out, and then you take it to another level and you actually like close your eyes and you visualize it and you allow yourself to be that person, to smell those smells, to wear those clothes, to speak those words, to have that swag. You know, before I speak on stages and I think about my walk up song, I'll like walk around my neighborhood and like listen to the music and like picture me in that room, in that energy, you know? And it's like, oh, it's so powerful, because when I think back to sports and I think, you know, game, every game I visualized, every college game I visualized, I was a center mid. So I visualized me just like crushing the 50-50 game, right? Winning every head ball. Like I was pretty aggressive, like just knocking people down, running through people, like scoring goals on corner kicks. Like I visualized hard. I lost it somewhere. So I went from an athlete and I visualized, you know, that like that feeling and all those things, and just like gets me like jazz right now. Right. And you do that. And it did impact then my hype for the game, the energy that I came into that game when that whistle blew. Right. I had a different energy, and life is everything is energy. Well, then I graduated college and then I went to PA school, and I didn't really visualize myself in PA school, like crushing exams or things like that. I went about my life and I lost the power of visualization. And here's why it's so important, because in a lot of ways, I lost the energy that I actually wanted to give off in the world. And energy is really tied, or you accentuate or elevate your energy by the power of visualization. And so when I think about the past like couple of years, visualization's become a bigger part of my life, and I show up differently. Because here's the game-changing way, is because when I start to see myself as her, and I mean it, like the next level Jenna, and I constantly do this, right? When I start to have dreams and I start to visualize myself as her, wearing the clothes, wearing the jewelry, walking the walk, speaking the words, standing on the stages, right? Having the opportunities, hosting the events, all the things. I feel that. I feel an energy from that. And then I give off a different energy that I am now becoming her, because I saw myself and I felt myself as her. And it's just that transfer of energy, and the science geek in me, the exercise biology major, is like, everything is energy, transferring energy. So when I think of visualization, it's like, It's energy.
Hell yeah. I literally just wrote down, your energy is your edge. Like that really is that edge. It's an energetic thing. You're hype for the game, hype for life. I loved all that. So, so good. You said speaking it out loud often. I know you have a lot coming up. You have your live event. I'm sure there's stages that you're pitching yourself for. Is there something right now that you are speaking into existence for yourself? I always like to speak it out loud also on the podcast, because you never know who is listening.
Ooh, so good. So 2024, there's been a lot of clarity actually just in the past few weeks heading into 2024. So it's elevating my speaking. And it's the different stages that I'm speaking on, the different people. And so I want, you know, I'm going to speak to more elite performers, whether that's athletes or executives. I'm going to keep speaking to rooms full of ambitious women that are, you know, looking to elevate their business or their life. And so speaking in all forms, podcasts, stages, rooms, is huge for me in 2024. Experiences, being part of them and creating them. There's going to be this whole new level and movement of Isaac and I creating experiences for partners, of me creating immersive experiences for women, me creating rooms. And so when I really think of speaking something into existence, it's like this new energy of just my impact through speaking, through using my voice, and then also my impact as being a connector and creating and cultivating experiences that are impactful on such a deep level in 2024. And my big event is Next Level You Live, which is, you know, April 19th and 20th in Columbus, Ohio. But that's going to be like my big event. But there's going to be other events that I'm either a part of or that I'm creating that I'm so excited about that I'm looking for people to, yeah, want to be a part of that and want to lock arms and they're looking for the same things. So that's really, you know, it's not a specific thing, but it's two avenues that I'm going all in on 2024, speaking and experiences.
I love that so much. Heck yes. Same. So hell yeah. Okay. In this moment, I got some questions I'm thinking of. Okay. In this moment, if you were asked to speak literally this weekend on a stage, like the coolest opportunity ever, what would your walk-up music be?
Oh, right now it's Good to Be Alive, Meghan Trainor.
Okay.
It embodies just like me right now, just living in the present, you know, and not living for the future. And I just, you know, my family, we literally listen to it every day in my house. I listen to it. So that is my jam right now.
I love that so much. Oh, so good. Okay. So you were asked to speak at an event. We'll keep going with that. And I always like to tell everybody, like, you know, it's all the things and you get to put something in the goodie bag. And we all love the goodie bag. Everybody leaves, woo, goes home, opens it up. If you could put a book in there that you feel like has changed your life, has really helped you like with mindset, mental, any of the things like that one for you, you can put two if you're like two come to mind, but what would you say you would put in the bag for everybody to take home with them and be like, this is the one that could do it for you?
Oh yeah. Okay. I have a lot of books. I know. It's a really good question. And I'm going to give two. Okay. You know, The Big Leap is one, and that's like, you know, a book, right? That's like a book, and I feel like it's a staple and it's just game changing. The other one, it's a little book, and so anybody can read it. You can literally read it in a setting. It's called U Squared.
Okay, I've never heard of that. U Squared. One.
Yeah, I know. But you could, I mean, it's so small and you could read it whatever, but it packs a punch.
Heck yes. If you could have dinner with anybody, time, space, alive, past, who would it be?
Wow. You know, this is like one of those questions that people ask you. And I always like get in my head because I'm like, oh, Jenna, this has to be like a really impactful person.
No.
My brain goes to athletes, just because. So I'd be between two, and then right now it'd be Pink, which is random, but Pink to me shows so many just qualities of just like how she is like in her fitness journey, how she challenges herself on stage, just her grit, her like, I don't give a F, like, I'm just going to be me. She's like, Pink just intrigues me. So I just would love to know how she does what she does and how her brain works. And athlete, honestly, you know, my favorite player of the 99 World Cup of women's team was Michelle Akers. She had so many brain like head injuries and she just kept going. She just dominated games in a way I've never seen. So probably one of those two.
Very cool. I love Pink. I've never gotten that answer. And the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, that's such a good one. That would be so cool. Do you have a quote or mantra or little saying that you live by that kind of helps you, defines you, is like your message or North Star, anything like that?
You know, I'm looking at something that one of my former players got me right here that's on my desk. And it's, you know, Lily Miola that has that daydream song. It's Don't Quit Your Daydream. And I look at that. That song's really powerful. But as far as a mantra, you know, one of my mentors, Amber Lily Shrim, says, if the dream is in you, it is for you. And that like rings true to me and my beliefs. But for me, I wake up and I just, you know, I think about, and again, it's the athlete in me is, you know, challenge yourself to activate your next level today, you know, because next level you is my brand. But it doesn't mean that you can't be really proud of yourself or happy or content or any of the things. But I really am constant mindset of calling myself up to, you know, unlock that next level, activate that next level inside me, take our life to a next level, be a next level wife and mom. And so challenge yourself to activate your next level.
So good. I want to open up the floor for you to fully plug yourself, your event, where everybody can find you. Of course, I will add everything to the show notes, but just the floor to plug yourself away.
Well, thank you. Yeah, if you're listening to this, I would love to connect with you. You know, I say this when I speak on stages of like, I really want to know who's listening. I want to connect with you. I want to know your story. I want to learn from you and, you know, allow you to learn from me, whatever you take. And so there's multiple ways to reach out to me. You know, I'm on Instagram. That's like the Instagram of my podcast are my two platforms that I share and I'm on all the time. So my Instagram is at jenna.kloffenstein. My podcast is the Next Level You podcast. And then my website is just jennakloffenstein.com. And the biggest things I would say, you know, that I'm really passionate about right now and what I do is my event, Next Level You Live, is April 19th and 20th in Columbus, Ohio. It is a 2-day transformational immersive event that, you know, I'm going to say this with full confidence. I just believe it's a different room. You know, there's a different energy. There's a different level of connection and a high level conversation. And anything that you're really looking for, if you're looking to take your life and your business to the next level, you'll find it in that room. You know, people, the tactics, the energy, the inspiration. And I keep it intimate for a reason. It is so intentional because we go to big events and why they're great. What I crave and what a lot of people that I hear crave is like there to be no hierarchy in the room, the speakers to be in it with the attendees, to get to know your attendees. So the room is just so powerful. If you're able to make it, if, you know, 2024, you're looking to get into rooms, like check it out, reach out to me, because again, this is going to be an event that sells out. It is going to be what I'm going to say is going to be the most impactful experience in 2024. Yes. And I'll also be, if you look out on Instagram and I'll share it, I'll be dropping some retreats and things like that I'm going to host. And I love, love, love private one-on-one mentorship. I love it. I love helping you take things to the next level. And we can talk more about that. So if you're looking to really activate that next level in life or business, I'm ready to do the work with you. Yeah.
So amazing. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on today. You and I could go tit for tat for hours, like on all the things. So I appreciate your time and I'm super, super grateful for you.
Well, thank you. It was an honor to be here. And one thing I didn't say is I'm going to throw you out for your community a freebie that I have to just some questions to ask yourself to unlock your next level. So excited for anybody to grab that. And I love you. Thank you for having me.
Feels like drinking sunshine, right? That's how Jenna feels to me. Like so good, so amazing. I hope you enjoyed this conversation that I had with her because I know I certainly did. And that is always what I aim to do, bring you awesome and inspiring guests where you can truly latch on to the things they say and the stories they tell and see yourself in them in some way, shape, or form. And that can in turn inspire you to go out and do great, magnificent things in your own life, which I know you're striving for. Day in and day out. If you are a frequent flyer of this podcast, please, 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 if you could leave a 5-star review and a comment in the comment section. I have a personal goal right now to get to 300 reviews, comments of the podcast, and it would mean so much to me if you could take 2 seconds right now to go do that. Until next week, may you always be joyful, loving, and above all else, fearless.